Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyondananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Upwising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, very good. Welcome today. You know, I'm still getting used to the IOM network station ID with this big ohm at the beginning. But it's good. That means that I'm here with my omies, okay? So welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power and shine light ahead of us to where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right, front and center, to face the music and dance together. In other words, to address real issues rather than defend positions. Well, one of the characteristics of a sociopathic con man is that he, usually it's a man, he will boldly and blatantly tell you ahead of time what he intends to do. Another characteristic is that he projects his own evil intentions onto others. So it should come as no surprise that to those who recognize Donald Trump as the sociopathogen that he is, that he already has announced he will not accept the results of the election if they're not to his liking. And he and his Vichy Republican enablers have continued to accuse the Democrats of voting fraud, as they've done everything in their abusive power to disenfranchise potential Democratic voters. Donald Trump knows, as Joseph Goebbels knew before him, that if you repeat a lie often enough, it'll begin to sound like the truth. By the way, I offer my assessment of Trump not as a partisan, but as a student of metapolitics my entire adult life. I know what I'm seeing, and as the legendary baseball umpire Bill Clem said, I call him as I see him. Were to quote Swami Beyondananda, if it quacks like a duck and steps like a goose, there is something foul afoot. Well, given this new word, this situation that we're in, what do we do about it? Well, those who want to call forth the sane and sacred center to preserve a government of, by, and for the people, what can we do in the next 2 months to make sure everyone who wants to vote does vote and those votes are counted? Our guest this week is Harvey Wasserman, and he's got some answers, and not a moment too soon. Harvey Wasserman's been active in civil rights, peace issues, ecology, safe energy, anti-nuclear work, election protection issues for almost 60 years. In 1966, he met Dr. Martin Luther King on the Meredith Voter Rights March through Mississippi. He's a co-founder of the global grassroots No Nukes movement, and in 1979, he helped produce the legendary Muse concert in Madison Square Garden. He's a radio host, journalist, and historian. He's written or co-written some 20 books, including 7 on election protection with Robert Petrakis. He hosts the Green Power and Wellness podcast at PRN-FM and California Solotopia, broadcast at KPFK Pacifica, Los Angeles. He's got a master's degree in history from the University of Chicago, where he was a Woodrow Wilson Fellow, and he has a BA in history and journalism from the University of Michigan, where he was editorial director of the Michigan Daily. He's also a key member of the Grassroots Election Protection Coalition, and that's really what we're going to be focusing on today. Welcome, Harvey.
Well, great to be with you. Thank you.
Good. I can call you Harvey. I could probably also call you Sluggo. Which is
your let's use Sluggo. Okay, you know, when I first moved to Los Angeles, I would introduce myself as Harvey Wasserman, and women in particular would say, "Harvey Weinstein, why aren't you in prison?" And they, you know, like hit me. So, yeah. Excuse me. So we used Sluggo, which was my old hippie name. I lived on a communal farm in Massachusetts for 14 years, and I was known as Sluggo. I like to think it was because of my baseball ability, but, you know, that comes with being older.
your baseball ability has improved over the years. Your memory of it.
Yes, that's right. The older I get, the better I was.
Exactly, and the fewer people who can really, you could look it up in the Akashic record books. Actually,
of course, exactly.
Some of us remember Sluggo from the Nancy and Sluggo Ernie Bushmiller cartoon. So. You've got two ways to use your nickname, but on to a little bit more serious stuff. You've been a historian for over 50 years. I read your Harvey Wasserman's or Sluggo's History of America, very important book in my education. You've been an activist for longer than that. Given all of the activism, not just on your part, but on so many people's work, the activism, awareness, and energy spent, how did we end up where we are today?
Well, I do want to mention, I have written a new history of the United States. I was about to put it out, and I sort of ended it with Bernie's campaign and great hopefulness, but I'm now waiting for Trump to depart. It's called The People's Spiral of U.S. History, and I'll publish it on January 20th, hopefully, as Trump is departing in his orange jumpsuit, handcuffed from the White House. And maybe we can talk when that comes out next year. But we wound up where we are because this is a huge transition. And number one, Donald Trump has to be viewed as the karmic accumulation of all the horrible deeds that the United States has perpetrated on other countries. I mean, Trump is just the sum total of Pinochet in Chile and Suharto and in the Indonesia and the Shah and all these horrible dictators that we have imposed on other people. This is Trump now coming home to roost. He is the vulture, the imperial vulture, come home to roost. And I don't think that we'll get rid of him until we apologize as a nation to all the other countries whose lives, excuse me, we destroyed. You know, it's look at Chile, for example. They had a wonderful guy, a social democrat, Allende, in power. He was elected. He was put in office. People were quite happy, making good social progress. I mean, he was the Bernie, basically, of Chile. And then in 1973, on September 11th, the CIA went and slaughtered him and put in this horrendous, brutal fascist thug named Pinochet and put Chile through 17 years of hell. And, you know, Trump is our Pinochet. And we really need to understand that we have to repent and you know, pay back our karma with Donald Trump. Now, as far as I'm concerned, enough is enough. And we need to get him out of there. But we really have to understand that he is the kind of thing that we have imposed, the kind of mobster monster that we have imposed on other countries.
You know, this is really true. In fact, I've called Trump our balloon karma payment. So we're thinking along the same lines. And as you were talking, I realized perhaps he not just the sum total of our bad doings, he's the scum total.
Yes. And then the other thing, we have to understand that, you know, this is a mega transition here demographically. The United States is about to become a country in which white people are in the minority. And, you know, not since 1492 has that been the case or thereabouts. And California, Texas, Florida,
All these states, well, California already, white people are a minority. They are a plurality. They're the biggest ethnic group. But, you know, with Hispanics and African Americans and Asian Americans, indigenous white people are in the 40s now. And this is more emotionally and spiritually than a lot of white people can accept. So Donald Trump is what we hope will be the last gasp of the white male, you know, bigot that is going to have to finally let go of the country. You got to remember that Trump's father was a Ku Klux Klan supporter, very open about it, actually. And his grandfather was a human trafficker who ran a bordello in California. So he has a history of male chauvinism, of misogyny, and of racism that is indelible. And that's, people are mystified by how you know, Trump supporters stick with him. That's a big part of the answer. There's a desperation among white male dominant. I hate to call these people Christians, because there's nothing Christian about you know, what Trump is doing, his hatred, his violence, his deceit. I mean, Jesus or Yeshua would be flipping on his cross if he heard people invoking his name in conjunction with the kinds of things that Donald Trump does. But that's what's going on here. It's about as deep as it gets. And, you know, I mean, the abortion issue, for example, has nothing to do with it. Well, very little to do with abortion. I'm sure there are some people in the anti-choice movement who are genuinely concerned about the life of the fetus, but in fact, it's all about male domination. And and you know, if you really are interested in preventing abortion, the group you'd support is Planned Parenthood, because what stops abortions is sex education and contraception. And you know, the right-wing anti-abortion movement doesn't want anything to do with that. So really, what we're going through here is a mega transformation, both spiritual and demographic, and that's why it's so profound and so deep.
Well, you know, over the years, we've looked at so many possible turning points for this country. There was the fall of the Soviet Union and the opportunity to really create a whole different different kind of worldwide authority that was not some, you know, top down, but rather something that the people of this country, were the people of the world, are ready to grasp this. We've had warnings and activism on the environment, on all of these issues, and yet the evil powers, if you will, have continued to stake their turf and are now using this the white people minority issue to solidify their power. Is there anything that the that those people who have for the last 50 or 60 years or so been working for social and economic and environmental justice, given all of that energy spent, how has it been possible for those intentions to be thwarted at this point?
Well, it's largely, I deal a lot with this in my upcoming history book, it's largely because of the Democratic Party. I mean, we have a two-party system that was enforced, really thrust down our throat by the guy who was really the worst president of the United States. We've actually had a worse president than Donald Trump, and his name was Woodrow Wilson. And he got us into World War I. He crushed the Socialist Party in America, and he also presided over an entirely preventable pandemic. The pandemic of 1918 was really caused by Woodrow Wilson. 650,000, 675,000 Americans died in a country that was a third the size of the United States today. That would be the equivalent of more than 2 million people. And it was all because of Woodrow Wilson. He was a terrible bigot, a supporter of the Ku Klux Klan, and his number one function was to crush the alternative in this country, which was the Socialist Party led by Eugene V. Debs. It was Debs and the socialists, the American socialists, were way more respectful of the Bill of Rights than either the Democrats or the Republicans. And the Democrats have since stepped in and always sort of preempted social change. Now, they did a fine job, and I loved Franklin Roosevelt. I loved Eleanor more, actually. I think Jack Kennedy was set to make major changes. I don't believe he would have pursued the war in Vietnam, and we know what happened to him. But then in the 80s, in comes the Clintons, and the Clintons basically sold the Democratic Party to Wall Street. And so pretending to be the party of social change, they basically sold everybody out. And, you know, Hillary Clinton was the perfect candidate in 2016 to pave the way for Donald Trump. She, you know, I won't go into the details, but essentially Donald Trump is in the White House because of the failure of the Democratic Party to deliver real social change. And that includes Obama. Obama in 2009 had the opportunity to face down Wall Street and to make real social change, as Franklin Roosevelt did, and as John Kennedy was poised to do. But instead, you know, Obama just sailed through his presidency, and he's a brilliant man, articulate. The Obama presidency, as a historian, I will say, was literally the cleanest, most scandal-free administration in the history of the United States. I mean, nobody in the entire Obama administration was indicted. It's astounding. But they didn't do anything. You know, he did the Affordable Care Act kicking and screaming, and that was it. And so you have a huge body of working people in this country that are incredibly frustrated, who really, there has been no significant social legislation in the United States, except for the Affordable Care Act, since 1965. I mean, nothing has been done to help working people. Wages are stagnant. You know, the ratio of executive pay to worker pay is exponentially horrendous. I mean, it's unheard of. You know, you have CEOs making 2,000-3,000 times as much as the workers in their factories. It's unsupportable. And so we're looking at here is the classic end of the empire. And we have a giant body of people, you know, personified in the Bernie movement, ready to make social change. And we're still here, but you've got this bottleneck, you know, this fascist who's playing off on our, you know, on our diversity and the fear of diversity. And that's the big test.
Good. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Harvey Sluggo Wasserman in a very short while. Talk about what we can do about all this. Steve Behrman, the Wiki Politiki.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Okay, now we figured out where we've been. We know what's so. Now we go to the next level, hacked elections. Now, this, again, there's a little bit of history here. there have been warnings about hacked voting machines and other ways of miscounting votes for years. My associate, who I interviewed a few weeks ago, Mark Crispin Miller, wrote a book called Fooled Again back in 2005, 2006, talking about the stolen 2004 election. He presented it to the mainstream media. He heard crickets. He presented it to the left-wing media. He was accused of being a conspiracy theorist. So we've been watching this happen now. It's 16 years since that election. How and why did the left fail to address these issues years ago, like even in 2004?
Well, it's a great question, and I still don't have an answer. I mean, in 2004, Bob Fitrakis and I were in Columbus. We're both teaching at Columbus State Community College. We were putting out pieces on the internet. The last piece we wrote prior to the election was called 11 Ways Bush is Already Stealing the 2004 Election. And it was the number one piece in the internet for the week prior to the election. But we were attacked repeatedly by the nation, by various publications. We were actually blacklisted by Daily Coast. I mean, the left, for some reason, has been unable to deal until now with the realities of election theft. And even in 2016, Jill Stein is a friend of mine, and she was a fine Green Party candidate. After the election, with nothing personal to gain, went into Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania with Bob Fitrakis, my co-author, who's an election attorney, and demanded recounts, and actually won a court decision in Michigan that would have required a recount that clearly would have showed that Clinton was the rightful winner. And the Clinton campaign refused to join in, and there was no recount. I mean, I don't get it. And then Hillary turns around in her awful, awful memoir. One of the worst experiences I've had in this movement is I forced myself to read her memoir. It was ghastly. And she, in her memoir, she has the nerve to attack Jill Stein, who did what she wouldn't do, which was go in and demand a recount. It's outrageous. And to this day, you have Democrats screaming at Ralph Nader for daring to run for president in 2000 when the election was stolen by Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, who stripped 90,000 people from the voter rolls. You never hear the Democrats yelling at Jeb Bush. They always yell at Ralph Nader. And the bottom line is the Democratic Party hates the left. And even the left seems to hate the left. So I don't get it. I still don't get it. But this year, finally, people are paying attention, because one thing Donald Trump has done is he has absolutely terrified people. I mean, there is no doubt that this is the American Hitler. The basic difference between Trump and Hitler is that Hitler spoke better German. Trump is a product of America. He's running death camps. I mean, those camps at the border with all the families and the kids, those are death camps. They're no different than Dachau. I mean, they're not quite Auschwitz. There aren't, gas chambers, but the purpose of those camps is to kill people. And there's really no difference. Trump is a dictator. We will not survive four more years of Trump. We won't survive politically in terms of a democracy, and we won't survive ecologically in terms of a species trying to live on this planet. I mean, people say all the time, oh, we're destroying the planet. We're not destroying the planet. We're destroying our ability to live on this planet. I've worked many years with indigenous activists, and they always make the difference. You're not going to kill Mother Earth. Mother Earth is going to be fine. It's just that we won't be here. It'll be maybe the dolphins, the cockroaches, I mean, whoever else, but it won't be us. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right about the urgency of this situation, and because of the past, I would say, lack of courage and lack of vision on the part of the Democratic Party establishment, we're being forced to get behind a very, very, very lame candidate whose claim to fame is he's not Donald Trump. So that's, we have a lot of things working against us. And at the same time, I think the, who was it, Samuel Johnson, who said that nothing seems to focus the attention better than an imminent hanging. So,
right.
we're about to, we're walking to the gallows here. So now let's talk about what systems have been put in place to thwart Democratic voters. Just briefly outline that, and then we'll talk about the various things that can be done to remedy it, so that in January we're literally dancing in the streets.
Well, we're scrambling. You know, the American system of elections, we really don't have national elections. We have 50 state elections, plus D.C. And every state has its own rules. So I'm doing a website which people can come visit called Grassroots EP, EP standing for Election Protection. So it's GRASSROOTSEP.org. And we run a Monday Zoom call. I wish you'd join us, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern time. And you can write me directly, solartopia@gmail.com, to get onto this call, solartopia@gmail.com. And we just spend 90 minutes going through the basic mechanics of the upcoming election. So the number one thing that Trump is doing to scuttle the election is to inject as much confusion as possible. The rules are different in every state, and in many cases they're different from different election boards. This happened in Wisconsin in the primaries last spring. There were major different rules in different precincts all over the place. So we have some really great people who are working on this full time. We're networking and we're focusing on the swing states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, and then maybe Ohio. There's this debate about whether Ohio is so corrupt it's hopeless. But, we're working for paper ballots. That's number one, absentee ballots and mail-in ballots. But also there's been a big shift just in the last few days, actually, in the polls. People who said they were going to vote absentee are now saying they're going to go in and vote early. And we are really urging people to go in wherever you are. If you get your ballot in the mail, as they say in Hindi, mazel tov. But take your ballot and your envelope and don't mail it back. Go walk it in. Find the election board. Find the collection center. Take your absentee ballot and go in there with it and turn it in. Make sure with the poll worker that everything's in order, mark it up and leave it. Now, some states don't allow you to do that. So you're going to have to check out with the states. But we think that's a better option. So if you don't get your ballot in the mail, go in and vote in person. But do not wait till Election Day. Do not wait till November 3rd to vote. That's suicide. Those lines will be 10 hours long everywhere. So what you want to do is now find out. Some states have already started voting, early voting. I think you can early vote in North Carolina already. But if you go to grassrootsep.org, there's a calendar, or write me, and you can find out when your state allows early voting. And as soon as you can go in, and certainly if you get a ballot in the mail, as soon as you get it, do not mail it back in. Do not wait till Election Day. Walk it into your election board, fill it out there, show it to the election the poll worker. And in many cases, what you will be able to do, and this is we're actually very optimistic in two ways. There are two major changes in this election that will change elections for all time to come, if we still have them after this election. Number one is the shift to absentee balloting means a shift to paper ballots. And this is really a huge deal.
Because thank you.
Extremely important. Because since 2000, we've been having these touchscreen machines, which we call push and pray, where you vote and then you pray that the machine actually counts your ballot the way you voted it. And I could go on for a couple of hours about how that wasn't the case between 2000 and 2020. But, you know, this is going to change now. Everybody should be able to get a paper ballot this year. It's a very big deal. And you should be able to fill them out by hand. The second thing is, and this is quite amazing, more than 80% of the precincts in this country now have digital ballot imaging machines. So when your paper ballot comes in by mail, or when you go in there with your paper ballot, that paper ballot goes into a machine. It's inserted into the machine, and the machine reads the paper ballot and creates a digital ballot image. And then the paper itself is preserved in a bin on the other side. And virtually all the precincts in this country now have these machines. Now, they can be hacked, but even if they are hacked, we still have the paper ballots. And hacking these machines is difficult.
Yeah.
And what happened, you know, Trump is yelling and screaming about how long the vote count is going to count. In fact, if you vote by paper, if your precinct is voting by paper, and those machines and those ballots are inserted in those machines, you can get a result in 10 minutes from tens of thousands of ballots. I mean, it's all computerized. So the ideal situation is, A, you get your ballot in the mail, you walk it into the precinct, you fill it out, you make sure everything's in order, they accept it, and then you put it into the ballot imaging machine, and the image is there, the paper ballot is preserved, and they can get a result in minutes. That
so
is
that,
the way the election should work.
You can do that prior to the election, prior to Election Day?
Prior to Election Day. Now, they will not issue the results, and they should not. No results should be issued before 7:30 p.m. on November 3rd, because that affects the balloting. But and Jimmy Carter did that in 1980, and it was ridiculous. And he conceded in 1980 before the balloting was over in California and Hawaii. It was absurd. But and so we do not want any results issued prior to the closing of the polls all over the country. In other words, that means 5 hours after 7:30 Eastern time, which is when Hawaii is done, right? So no results should be issued prior to 12:30 a.m. Eastern time on November 4th. But, but we do have the ability now to do this very quickly. The key junctures in the election process, and this is one of the reasons we're urging people, everybody, to become a poll worker. And to the most critical spot in the whole process is the person who gets the ballots in the mail and decides whether or not they're valid. You know, there's all these little dots. I mean, you have to put in a middle initial. Your signature has to match. You have to fill out everything perfectly. And that's the decision of a poll worker. And we want good people sitting in that seat to make sure that the ballots that come in are accepted. Because you can have right-wing operatives taking those seats and just throwing ballots in the trash. So we want people to be poll workers, and especially to occupy that seat of the person who decides whether the ballot is going to be counted. That's a big deal. And poll workers get paid, by the way. In some places, they're paid very well. And this year, this is another major transition. We're transitioning to paper. We're transitioning to digital ballot imaging. There's also a generational shift in poll workers. Because of the COVID, you know, older people are not going to be working the polls. So we want anybody who marched for George Floyd or, you know, civil rights and police reform in the past few months should now march into their election board and be a poll worker. And they actually get paid. I mean, the money's good. You can make a couple $100 sometimes working a day at the polls. It's a 14-hour day, which is another reason why, you know, we need younger people. But everybody listening, go be a poll worker. Call the election board. Go in there and sign up. You have to take – they give you a day of training. They give you a manual, which is unreadable. But we need good people to be poll workers, and they will make the difference.
Now, that's on Election Day. What about...
With early voting, it's prior. It starts now. We need poll workers now.
Wow.
That's because of early voting, their polls will be open starting, you know, now and depending on the state, to the extent that they can get poll workers. In a lot of places, the amount of polling stations that are open will be a direct product of how many poll workers are available. That's what happened in Wisconsin. That last primary, they couldn't get people to work the polls, and so they just didn't have as many polls. That's why there were big lines. So as many poll workers as they get, that's how many polling stations there'll be.
Very interesting. Very interesting that things have changed to that extent. And that's a good thing because, you know, we all know those smart voting machines, some of them were so smart they didn't even need to have voters. That's how smart they were.
So they voted by themselves.
They voted by themselves. Talk about intelligence. Wow. But we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to talk more about what people can do including becoming poll workers, how to do that. And we'll be back with Harvey Sluggo Wasserman in a very short bit after these messages.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Okay, we're back with our guest, Sluggo Wasserman. We're talking about how we can actually have votes counted fairly this year and how many, many more of us can show up and we get to translate the sense of urgency and become cells in the body politic's immune system. So thank you for giving me the information that you've given. Let's also look at what other remedies we have, because, you know, again, right now, Trump is saying, well, you know, if I don't like the results, I might not leave. Is that a bluff? Is that a promise? How seriously is that to be taken? And what are the most hopeful steps we can take at this point so that that never...
It's a diversion.
Yeah.
It's a diversion. It's meant to instill confusion. Like I'm telling his people to go in and vote twice. I mean, you know, it's just meant to confuse the situation. That's how fascists take power. They confuse everybody. And so I'm not focused on whether or not Trump's going to leave if he loses. I'm focused on making sure he loses in the first place. We'll cross that other bridge when we come to it. But the bottom line is that everybody needs to, you know, not only do you, this is not an election where it's enough to register and vote. There's a trifecta here of stealing the election. Number one is to mess with the voter rolls. Number two is to mess with vote by mail and early voting. And number three is to mess with the vote count. So we have organizations out there that are checking the voter rolls. There have been 16.5 million people stripped from the voter rolls. You who are listening, you may think you're registered to vote, but they've taken you off the voter rolls and you don't know it. So you go down to vote, and suddenly you're not registered. You gotta go. Voter registration rolls are public records. You can go online and check if you're registered. There is a group, a very good group, that deals with this called People Demanding Action, and they are getting people registered and also getting people to check that they're registered, and to get people re-registered if they've been stripped from the voter rolls, which is happening all over the country. And of course, this is how George W. Bush became president in 2000, is that his brother Jeb, the governor of Florida, stripped the voter rolls of 90,000 people of color. And while the Democrats were screaming at Ralph Nader, W. became president because his brother from the CIA got him in. So the voter registration rolls are critical. Then vote by mail and early voting. They are, of course, we all know, messing with vote by mail, dismantling the post office. So people now are responding by coming in to vote early. Now, when you go in to vote early, make sure you get a paper ballot. Do not vote on a touchscreen machine. And make sure that paper, you witness that that paper ballot is inserted into the digital scanning machine so that your vote counts. If you do want to vote by mail, and please do, make sure you get the ballot. And we urge people to walk ballots back in, or at least to drop them in drop boxes, although in many cases they're getting rid of the drop boxes. So, you know, they are doing everything possible to prevent you from voting. And then number three is the vote count. You know, as I mentioned, we do have digital scanning machines, but there will be people needed present to get those votes counted as quickly as possible because there are deadlines. And that's what happened in Florida 2000, happened again in Florida 2018, where the deadlines were not met. People were still doing recounts, and they just cut it off and put Bush in the White House and put this idiot in the governor's mansion and Rick Scott in the U.S. Senate, where they didn't belong. This is in Florida 2018. So if you are concerned, if you are worried about fascism in America, you know, this election is kind of our last gasp. You need to make sure you're registered. You need to get your friends and your family registered. Check the voter rolls. Come to grassrootsep.org. You can email me directly, solartopia@gmail. You know, there's no mystery here. It's a moving target. Things are changing rapidly. Like I said, the polls now show, as opposed to last week, where 80% of the public was appeared on the way to vote by mail, we're now seeing 50% of certain parts of the electorate saying they're going to vote early. But in order to vote early, we need poll workers. And so, you know, if you really want to do this, become a poll worker. You actually get paid. We're hoping for younger people to go in there. It's a long day. It's like a 14-hour day. But in order to have early voting, we need early poll workers. So, you know, it runs the gamut. Join our Zoom call on Mondays at 5 p.m. Again, email me or go to Grassroots EP. And I hope you'll join us.
Well, you know, we're also going to, on our Wikipolitiki page for this radio show, we're going to have all of these connections. We'll have links to these various organizations. So this is actually very good news because people now have a recourse, particularly with early voting, to have their vote counted and have that count verified. And there's nothing they can do about it at that point. So what people need to do, first of all, you know, you can't win the lottery if you don't buy a ticket. So you got to first check and see if you got a ticket to make sure that you are on you're registered as a voter. And then the next thing to do is to make sure that all your friends are registered as voters. There's various organizations. There's an organization called Voter Participation Center. They're very worth supporting because they are actively registering underrepresented voters, people of color, young unmarried women, and young people in general. So they've already registered 1.5 million voters, new voters, and Trump was bragging that the Republicans have registered 100,000 new voters. So on that track, we're about 15 times ahead of them. But at this point, and again, you know, I have to say, I share all of your misgivings about the Democratic Party. To me, they've been like in the Peanuts cartoon, Lucy pulling away the football before Charlie Brown kicks. And, you know, we're Charlie Brown. But this time we are actually voting. I think we're essentially voting for ourselves. We're voting for our future. And I think that the alarm is a good thing because it's awakened people who are much more lackadaisical in 2016. And certainly there were things that they got away with then, but they probably wouldn't be able to get away with now.
Well, let's hope, because it's all gotten, it's really an order of magnitude different from 2016. And, you know, Hillary Clinton did us all a huge disservice by, you know, refusing to lower herself to deal with this. You know, there was in 2010, one of the big problems we're facing, the biggest problems, is the legislatures in the swing states, especially Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona. These are extreme right-wing legislatures that were taken over in 2010 and then gerrymandered. And this is one of the huge problems in American politics that we have to solve. You know, California has a very good system for setting the districts for congressional and state legislature races. But these other states were facing Trump fanatics in controlling these legislatures, doing everything possible to make it harder to vote, especially among people of color, stripping the voter rolls and, you know, messing with the precincts. And I mean, in Ohio, they prevented the state legislature prevented the Secretary of State, who's actually a Republican. He wanted to mail ballots to all registered voters, which is exactly what should happen. And the state legislature prevented him from doing that. And then they're preventing him from even having drop boxes and, you know, and restricting the number of polling places. I mean, it's just outrageous what these legislatures are doing. So this is something we're up against. And again, there's no excuses here. We all know, you know, what needs to be done. This country was born in revolution, and we've had many, many important changes through the vote in 1932 and 1960. And, you know, this is a time when we cannot afford to lose. So everybody come to grassrootsep.org, go to your website, and let's get this done. We have 8 weeks to stop the apocalypse, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, as you know, years ago I did this this Qigong practice, kind of a martial artsy Qigong practice where you bang yourself in the belly with a brick and you strengthen your solar plexus. And then you do a two-person practice where you hit one another as hard as you can in the solar plexus. And what happens is your shield comes up to meet the punch and you don't feel – it's pretty amazing. And naturally, a lot of us were reluctant to do this, particularly because we had all kinds of people in the class, some bigger, some smaller, men and women. I don't want to punch a girl in the belly. And people didn't want to punch, you know, people wouldn't punch people and so on. And our teacher said, what you're doing is you're lighting them up, you're raising their energy. So the body politic has been sluggish. The body politic has been compromised by a number of different diseases, truth decay, erectile dysfunction, all these diseases that we've been challenged by. And what I see happening right now is that because of this challenge that we're facing has the potential to really bring up strength that hasn't been there in the past or it's been compromised in the past. So I do see that we're going to give it everything we have. In this very, very short 8-week window of time. So in the short time that we have left, let's go through, people who are listening generally, they want to be able to do something about this. So what are five things that the people who are listening can do to support themselves, make sure that they vote and their vote is counted, and then help make sure that other people are registered? How does one become a poll worker?
Contact your local election board. Not hard to find. There are literally dozens of election protection groups out there. Come to grassrootsep.org and join our Monday call and get directed. A lot of what you can do depends on what state you're in. You know, I got a lot of great friends in California, but California is not going to be a swing state. There are important elections here for Congress. There's no Senate election this year, but and a lot of local elections. But the states that are going to make the difference this year are Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, and Arizona. And then there are other ones that could be on the balance. And, of course, there's some important Senate races. So what you need to do is figure out where you want to have your impact. Lots of people, because of the COVID, are not going door to door, but they are doing phone banking and sending out postcards. And if you're in a swing state especially, but wherever you are, sign up to be a poll worker and get in there to make sure that early voting happens and that the vote count is protected and that the ballots are properly received. There's no mystery here. There's 20 to 30 different things that people can do. You know, there's like 20 different steps to protect vote by mail. There are far fewer to protect early voting. Make sure you get a paper ballot. Make sure everybody you know gets a paper ballot. Check the voter registration rolls for you, your friends, and your family. And get on the phones. Donate to the groups that can use it. And you know, really go out and make this happen. It's an hour or two of education. I've got a guide. I've written a guide on how to do it. It's at the grassrootsep.org under guide. Or if you want to write me, I'll mail it to you. I'm at Solartopia, Solartopia, at Gmail. And let's do it.
You know, it's interesting. You've been working at this for so many years, and you've had such diverse experience. Solartopia, anti-nuclear, et cetera, and it all comes down to this. It all comes down to this very, very narrow passage after which many things will become possible or nothing will become possible.
Well, everything's going to be possible. You know, we're looking at a huge shift here in this country. One way or another, we're going to have to deal with fascism in this country. It would be great if we can stop it with this election. And I hope to God we do. And that's our number one priority. People can discuss all they want whether Donald Trump is going to accept a losing verdict. But first, we have to make sure there's a losing verdict. And that means protecting this election and making everything of it. You know, we're looking at paper ballots, thank God. We're looking at, polling stations where we do have a possible electronic vote count that will be reliable. There's a lot of tools there. We have Democratic governors in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and secretaries of state who are actually committed to fair elections. And we have a lot going for us. And we have only ourselves to blame if we mess this up. And we cannot rely on the Democratic Party or Joe Biden, for God's sakes. I mean, that's clear enough. So this is going to be up to the grassroots organizations who go into the election boards and make the difference and on the state level and on the county level. Wherever you live, you're in a precinct, you have an election board, and you have a phone and a computer and a checkbook. And all those things will make the difference, and we have 8 weeks. So, you know, forewarned is more than forearmed. I mean, I watched an election stolen in Ohio 2004. It was not a pretty picture, and even less pretty was the reality that no one would pay attention to us. The Republicans didn't care, by the way. You know, we were screaming and yelling how the Republicans stole the election. They never denied it. They didn't care. It was the Democrats and the left who yelled at us. But I think Trump is
scared everybody sufficiently that no one's talking conspiracy theory anymore. And there's no mystery here. We know exactly. Well, I'm sure they'll come up with other ways that will surprise us. And there will be October surprises. There'll be, you know, Trump will send troops into various cities. He'll create as much chaos and confusion as possible. We know that's coming. We may not know exactly what they're going to do in October, but they will do many things to confuse and to throw this election into chaos. So early voting, voting by mail, working the polls, all these things are absolutely essential. So again, you can write me directly, Solartopia at Gmail. I will have a history book afterwards to explain all this, but let's not let fascism happen in November.
8 weeks we got. Thank you so much, Harvey Schlegel Wasserman, for being on our show and giving us some really helpful hints as to what we can do. This is Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki. I'm back next week.
Thank you.